Good morning, everybody. It is so good to see each and every one of you. Jordan Baker, come here real quick. So I want Jordan to tell you something. I want him to tell you something. So I need to tell you a little story. This has nothing to do with the message. Just sit for a second. You good? So about 7 months ago, my friend Don Runyon walked into my office. How many of you know Don Runyon? Hold your hand high. Okay, if you don't know Don Runyon, you experience Don Runyon is what you do. And he walked in my office and he said, you know, Jordan is a Cardinals fan. And I said, yeah, he's a Cardinals fan. He said, I want to go to a baseball game with Jordan Baker in St. Louis, Missouri. And I said, well, you can ask him. So he took seriously on this, walked into your office, started talking about it. Jordan quickly learned he wasn't just talking. So the last 2 days, where have you been?
Yeah, we were down in St. Louis for the 2 games.
Yeah. And you had how much time in a car with Don Runyon? You had a lot of time.
I don't know, 20 hours, 20 plus.
And you got home last night at what time?
Well, this morning, like 2:30.
So would you celebrate that memory make? That's it, man. And the Cardinals lost both games, didn't they?
Yeah.
I walked in, I said, Jordan, you don't look good this morning, man. It's training, training, training for when the baby comes, when the baby comes. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 21. Last week we talked about Lucky Charm cereal when we began. We talked about how easy it is to go through life and just pick out the marshmallows. How often in our walk with Jesus we just pick out the easy stuff and we leave the harder stuff behind, and how often we do this when it comes to the Bible. And somebody said to me afterwards, they said, you know, Lucky Charms is probably the worst cereal on the market. And then this week I walked into the Dollar Tree and I saw this. And I said, Lucky Charms is not the worst cereal on the market. This, my friends, is Golden Fruits Fruity Rolls Bubblegum. Bubblegum cereal. Bubblegum ring cereal, artificially flavored, 50% more free. You can get out the door for a buck and a quarter with one of these, friends. And I thought you all would find great joy in bubblegum cereal this morning. Sometimes we just pick out the bubblegum. If any of you need that for your sugar intake today, feel free to take it. Some passages in the Bible are so challenging that it would be tempting to pick around them. Some passages in the Bible are so challenging that they make us wince when they hear them. And that's the kind of passage we're going to read today. I'll be honest, I wanted to figure out a way to reroute around this one. I wanted to figure out a way just to skip to firm foundation, wise man built his house on the rock, foolish man built his house on the sand. But Jesus went there, and we'll see in a minute, it mattered a lot to Jesus. He didn't pick this one out. And this is a huge conversation. Some of you in this room have seen things and witnessed things that have been so unsettling. They've been done by things by people who call themselves Christians, and you've sat back and said, how is it that they claim to be followers of Jesus and yet they act like that? They claim to be followers of Jesus and yet they speak like that. I pray that today would be a day of profound healing in your heart. If you've been wounded at all by someone who spoke for God but didn't really speak for God. So I'd like to bow our heads and pray together. I want us to pray for a number of things here today. One of them being, this week Lois Boone was moved to a nursing home down in central Indiana to be closer to family. And I want to remember Wendell and Lois Boone in a special way today. So let's pray together. God, we want you here. Even as we've sung this morning, I sense that you're with us. We want you here. We pray for people who hurt today, who struggle today, who face health challenges today. We pray for Wendell and Lois Boone as they begin a new chapter in their lives. We pray for others who watch online today. And I pray above all else, God, that you would speak today to individual hearts, that we would listen, and that we would obey. Would you bring healing where it's needed, wholeness where it's needed, strength where it's needed, and deep peace where it's needed? Help us all to stretch with what you teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. We are almost through it. As we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it's almost as if Jesus is saying this to his listeners: now that you have heard these things, what are you going to do with them? It'll be on the screen. Now that you have heard these things, what are you going to do with them? You have heard what I have taught you for 2.5 chapters. You have heard what I have said. And now the question is, will you put it into practice? Will you demonstrate it from the core of who you are? Or will it simply go in one ear and out the other? And so Jesus begins. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus begins with two words. I want you to say the two words that are highlighted orange. Ready? Go.
Watch out.
What are the two words?
Watch out.
Jesus wants you to take him seriously here. Jesus doesn't say watch out very often. In fact, I could only find a couple of places that Jesus would say watch out. Some people are always saying watch out, watch out. Look both ways before you cross the street. Watch out, watch out, watch out. No, Jesus doesn't say it very often, but when he says it, he means it. He wants us to take him seriously. He wants us to pay attention to what comes next. He wants us to do something with what we are about to hear. So when Jesus is teaching and he says, watch out, his listeners would have sat up straight because they would have wondered, what is it that he's about to say? What is it that he's telling us to watch out? Jesus says, watch out. Not everybody who looks like a sheep is a sheep. And not all wolves look like wolves. Watch out, he says. Not everybody who looks like a sheep is a sheep, and not all wolves are wolves. Everybody was there. They were listening for different reasons. Some people wanted to see something. Other people wanted to hear something. Other people wanted to glean something. Other people wondered what Jesus' agenda was. And Jesus says, here's what I want you to watch out for. Not everybody who looks like a sheep is a sheep, and not all wolves look like wolves. Which makes you ask the question, why is watch out such a big deal? Watch out for false prophets such a big deal to Jesus? False prophets were a big deal in the day and age in which Jesus was speaking. False prophets carry the potential to, at minimum, impede the work of God in your life, and at worst, to absolutely tear it down and destroy it. The threat of false prophets is all through the scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 5, an appalling and horrible thing has happened. Prophets prophesy falsely. Jeremiah 14, prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, God says. Acts 20, savage wolves will come in among you, and they will not spare the flock. 2 Corinthians 11, such people are false apostles, false prophets, deceitful workers. They masquerade as apostles of Christ. 2 Peter chapter 2, there will be false prophets among the people just as there will be false teachers among you. False prophets was a really, really, really big deal in the day and age in which Jesus lived. And Jesus offers some vivid images in order for us to grasp what he's talking about here. Jesus says, I want you, let's go back to that first slide, Inga. I want you to watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Not everyone who looks like a sheep is a sheep, and not everyone who looks like a wolf or not everyone who looks like a sheep, yeah, is a sheep. And not all wolves look like wolves. So three vivid images. Here's the first one. The sheep and the wolves. The sheep and the wolves. Everybody say that together. The sheep and the
wolves.
The sheep and the
wolves.
Watch out for false prophets. They come to you how? Say those three words together. Okay, say them like we all woke up a little earlier than we did today. They come to you how? But inwardly, they are what? Okay. Now, I don't want to insult your intelligence. Please know this. I want to show you a picture of a sheep. Okay? This is a sheep. How many of you knew that? Good. We're tracking. I want to show you a picture of a wolf. This is a wolf. How many of you knew that? This is what Jesus is saying. Wolves don't always look like wolves. Wolves don't always look like wolves. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Watch out for wolves that look like sheep, sound like sheep, walk like sheep, but they aren't sheep. And their agenda is to destroy and to devour you. They don't look like wolves. They look like sheep. That is a sheep, and that is a wolf. Friends, I was thinking about my cereal here this week. I did not open this box, and I'm not going to. This right here is a wolf. That's what this is. It looks like cereal, pours like cereal, acts like cereal. It is not cereal, friends. It is candy in a box. It is wolf. It is a wolf. And right at the end of his message, right before his closing song, right before the final word, right before everybody goes home, Jesus says, you need to know this, friends. Wolves don't always look like wolves. People were about to leave the hill. They're about to go back to their lives. They're about to go back to their jobs. They're about to go back to their families, their towns, their villages. And they are going to hear so many voices that claim to speak for God. And Jesus says, I want you to watch out for false prophets. I want you to watch out for false prophets, which made me wonder, what is Jesus getting at when he talks about prophets? Is he talking about somebody who foretells the future? Like, watch out for false prophets. Somebody who says, well, the Vikings are a sure thing to win the Super Bowl in 2042. Like, is he talking about that, or is he talking about a different kind of prophet? I think he's talking about someone who claims to speak for God. A prophet is someone who claims to speak for God. And as these people went home, and as you go home, there's going to be an avalanche of voices in your life, in your world, of people who claim to speak for God. Just for these listeners alone, people that were followers, they were part of Judaism, there would have been any number of groups within Judaism that claimed to speak for God. There would have been Pharisees who were pressuring people to live perfect lives. There would have been Herodians who believed that they should appease the Romans. There would have been Essenes who wanted nothing to do with anyone else. So they went out and just said, we're camping out on the dark side of the desert and practicing solitude. There would have been zealots who said, we need to start a revolt from Rome. There would have been Sadducees, and they had power and authority, and they had the temple, and they didn't want to give it up. All these groups alone, they're going to come down off the hill, and they're going to use verses to say, we claim to speak for God. We have the answers, and you need to listen to us. And Jesus says, listen. Not everyone who claims to speak for God actually speaks for God. Say that together. Not everyone who claims to speak for God actually speaks for God. So who are you allowing to speak for God in your life? Who are you allowing to speak for God in your life? What person? What channel? What social media account? What pastor? Who are you allowing to speak for God in your life? What TV evangelist? What author? Not everyone who claims to speak for God actually speaks for God. So who are you allowing to speak? It's John 14. It's the end of Jesus' ministry. It's literally hours before he's going to be crucified. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's listening. He's interacting. They're having conversation there. And one of the disciples says to him, Jesus, Jesus, would you show us the Father? I want to see what God is like. Would you show us what God is like? And Jesus responds, and he responds with a stunning statement. Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the, say it together. Jesus says, you want to know what God looks like? Look at me. You want to know what God sounds like? Listen to me. You want to know what God is truly like? Just put your eyes on me. Jesus is saying that what happens on the hillside is he's not just speaking mere words. He is speaking the very words of God. One writer says what Jesus is saying on the hillside is that his words were a perfect reflection of the God who created you, knows you, and desires to guide you. Jesus is saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. Jesus' voice is the very voice of God. So who are you allowing to speak for God in your life? Let me give you a little clue right here at this point in the message. Read the red letters. Read the red letters in your Bible. And do what it says. And Jesus says, watch out. There's going to be all kinds of voices, and they're going to use all kinds of verses to claim to speak for God. Listen to me. Which then begs the question, how do you tell the difference between a lamb and a wolf? How do you tell the difference between a lamb and a wolf? Jesus gives us a clue. Verse 16, it'll be on the screen. By their, I know y'all can't read this, it's like a vision test, I'm sorry. By their fruit, you will recognize them. By their what? Fruit. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Jesus is using a picture here, and he's using a picture that would have meant more to them than it does to us. In Palestine, there was a thorn bush called a buckhorn that from a distance, it looked like it had little blackberries on it that resembled grapes. But upon closer inspection, it was not a grape bush. And there was a little thistle also that had a flower on it that from a distance you could mistake it as a fig, but upon closer inspection you would realize it's a thistle. And Jesus says, by their fruit you will recognize them. People don't pick grapes from thorn bushes. People don't pick figs from thistles. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears what? Yeah, we all know that. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire as kindling. Thus, by their what? Fruit, you will recognize them. Now, if I was there, I probably would have been seated somewhere near the back. If I was there, I would have been seated somewhere near the back, and I would have been listening closely, and I would have heard Jesus say this, and I would have raised my hand. I would have raised my hand, and I would have said, I have a question. I have a question. What kind of fruit are you talking about? What kind of fruit are you talking about? When you say, by their fruit, you will recognize them. What do you mean by that, Jesus? I think Jesus is saying here, does their lifestyle and does their message and does their tone reflect the very things that I've just taught you for 2.5 chapters of the Sermon on the Mount? Does their lifestyle reflect Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7? Does their message reflect that? And does the tone in which they share it reflect that? Do they have a spiritual humility about them? Are they pursuing reconciliation with people, or are they just okay with carnage relationally in their life? Are they living a life of radical love, or are they living a life that's just focused on themselves? Jesus is coming to this point, and I think Jesus is saying, listen, the fruit that I'm looking for is the fruit of the teaching that I'm giving to you right now. Are you going to live like this? One writer says, it's not loud profession. It's not spectacular spiritual triumphs. Rather, the chief characteristic that Jesus is looking for is obedience. The Father's will is not simply admired, discussed, praised, or debated. It is done. Done. So, tree and fruit. Then this last one. And this is where I thought, man, I wish I could just avoid this altogether. He talks about friends and strangers. Friends and strangers. And what he says here is about the most jarring thing you'll read in the Bible. It's one of the most disruptive things you will ever hear Jesus say. If there's anyone asleep on the hillside right now, they would have gotten an elbow in the ribs and they would have said, he's talking to you. He's talking to you right now. Jesus begins to speak. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one, can you all read that line that's in the dark? Only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, the blessing is in the doing. The blessing is in the doing. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father. And then this word, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? I want you to notice three words that show up about five or six times here really quick. Did we not prophesy in your name? And or three or four times. Did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Over and over again, Jesus is saying, here's a group of people. And they're like, look what we did. We cast out demons in your name. We drove out and we performed miracles in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did all of these things in your name. And I think Jesus would say this. It'll be on the screen. It is entirely possible to do the work of Jesus in the name of Jesus, but not in the way of Jesus. It is entirely possible to do the work of Jesus in the name of Jesus, but not in the way of Jesus. On that day, there will be many who cry out, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and this and this and this? And Jesus is saying, listen, it's possible. It's possible to do work for me in the name of Jesus, but not in the way of Jesus, not in the tone of Jesus, not in the message of Jesus. And Jesus is blunt. He says, I don't care about your miracles if you don't have any mercy. I don't care about your works of power if there's no purity in your heart. I don't care about your exorcism if there's no encouragement for others. I've never known you, he says. I've never known you in a saving way. Jesus distances himself from that. You are strangers to me, he says. All your activity, all the deeds that you've paraded before others as righteousness are nothing to me, Jesus says. Depart from me. It's possible to do the work of Jesus in the name of Jesus, but not in the way of Jesus. Listen, friends, people quit the church over this. People quit on God over this. I have lost count of the number of times that I have sat with someone who is full of angst toward God and the church and towards church people because of something that someone or some ministry or some church was doing the work of Jesus, and they were doing it in the name of Jesus, but they were not doing it in the way of Jesus. I saw it. I'll spare you all the horror stories, but I'll tell you one. I saw it in Sierra Leone with my own eyes. We were there right after Ebola. We were riding down the streets of Sierra Leone, a free town, Sierra Leone, a city that's so congested that, I mean, it's like a 24-hour panic attack for me when I'm in free town, Sierra Leone. I'm just like, give me the pills, like I'll get through this. And we were in free town, Sierra Leone, and we're walking down the street, and it's wall-to-wall people, and there's a guy up on the side here, and he's got a megaphone, and he's shouting into the megaphone something about Jesus, something about God, and something about money. And he's telling people, if you bring your money to me, and you lay it here at my feet, whatever you bring and you lay at my feet, it will be multiplied 100-fold back in your pocket. It's total garbage. And I see this. I see this with my own eyes. I'm standing there and I'm watching literally dozens upon dozens of people, people with no money, no stuff, no resources, and they're throwing their money at the feet of this man who's claiming to speak for God, but he does not speak for God. The man that I'm standing next to, Usman Forna, at the time was the national leader of the church in Sierra Leone. He said, this is one of the biggest dangers to the church. This is one of the biggest dangers in the church is that our people watch TV, he says. And they see things like this on TV, and then they go out into the streets and figure out a way to make money with it. I remember that night laying down and thinking to myself, God, I want to speak for you. There are so many people in the world who do the work of Jesus, but they do not do it in the way of Jesus, and they do it in such a way ultimately then that people are disinterested in Jesus. Here's why this matters, friends. When I read this passage, go back one slide, and I read about all that was done in the name of God, cast out demons, did all these things in the name of God, in the name of God, in the name of God, it occurred to me that in our world today, what we do is we elevate giftedness over character. We elevate giftedness over character. We say, well, my friend Josh McNall and I, we used to talk about this a lot. We elevate. Look at the gifts these people have. Look at what this person can do. They're a gifted teacher, a gifted evangelist, a gifted leader, a gifted preacher, a gifted organizer, and all of you have a gift. You've all been gifted by God. But listen, Jesus isn't after your total giftedness. He's after you being a person of character, an authentic follower of his. And his friends... his friends are the ones who do what he says. His friends are the ones that forgive when it's hard. His friends are the ones that share the truth of Jesus in the way of Jesus. That's the people that Jesus is after. So I want to talk to you in closing about two hills. Two hills. To be an authentic follower of Jesus is to be a person of two hills. Everybody say two hills. Two hills. I want you to picture it with me. One hill is where we are right now. It's the Mount of Beatitudes. Jesus is teaching. There's people there listening. They are listening to Jesus as a teacher. They are taking in what Jesus is saying as a teacher. They are hearing him as a teacher. And this is a good hill. This is a hill where we ought to spend time. Jesus ought to be the primary voice in your life, not your news network, not your newspaper, not your radio station. Jesus ought to be the primary voice in your life. And so when you're on that hill, that's a good place to be. But there's some people who spend all their time on that hill and they just say, Jesus is my teacher. I read this week that it was possible for people to say, Jesus, you are Lord. And what they meant by that is, Jesus, you are actually just teacher. That's who you are. You're my teacher, teacher, teacher. That's who you are. You're just my teacher. But we also are to be people of a second hill. And this hill is the hill of the cross. This hill is the hill where Jesus died and gave his life to save us. Jesus is not just teacher. He wants to be Savior. He wants to be Lord. And to be a person of the second hill means you accept him as your Savior. You live your life connected to the person of Jesus. He is not just your teacher. He is your Savior, your Lord. It's possible to view Jesus as a teacher. I've talked to people in the last 6 months of my life who would say, I think he's a pretty good guy who taught good things. But he's more than that, friends. He wants to be Savior. And if you only view him, and you have to view him not just as teacher, but also as Savior. Jesus wants us to be captured by his mercy, transformed by his love, and to serve and speak and live as he did. So the night before he's crucified, Jesus is praying, and he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is life, that they may know you. Philippians 3, Paul says, I consider everything a loss, literally dung. It's literally fecal matter. I consider it all dung compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Friends, there's no other reason that we gather as a church than for this reason. We want you to know God. We want you to know Jesus as your Savior and know Jesus as your teacher and do what he says. So I'd like you to bow your heads with me if you would. Today I want you to know that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That today you can ask Jesus Christ into your life. Today you can realize that you're saved through faith, not of yourself. You're saved as it's a gift of God, not of works, that anyone should boast. And you can know that if you have the Son today, you have life. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Today you can be his child. He can be your teacher, your Savior, and Lord. I'd like you to ask yourself this question today. Whose voice am I listening to the most? Like, be real honest about it. Whose voice am I listening to the most that speaks for God? Jesus, we want you to speak louder than any other voice. We want your voice to be the primary voice in our lives. All of us can think about times that someone spoke for God and it just didn't ring right. So God, help us to be authentic in our witness, to hear these words today as a warning, but also as a reminder. Jesus, we want to live for you. All the days of our life, we want to live for you. In your name. Amen. Let's sing together.